Well, 1037, what can be done to try to prevent the rise in sports injuries? What do parents need to know as their young sons and daughters get into sports? And this week's From the Sidelines, WDL Sean Green spoke with the son of former Yankees pitcher Tommy John, whose very name is used for one of the most common sports surgeries in baseball.
Spending a few minutes with Dr. Tommy John, the author of the book Minimize Injury, Maximize Performance, A Sports Parent's Survival Guide. And Dr. John, those listening may have heard that name, and it sounds very familiar. Your dad obviously was a great pitcher who now has a surgery named after him. Is that how you ended up becoming a doctor yourself?
You know, it was just, I believe we're drawn to things that kind of find us. And I always had a passion for how the body operates, preparation for certain things. And then when I got into college at Fermi University, I was in health and exercise science and just fascinated by all things body. And then learning that the body heals itself when it's in a better environment than others, and putting all together, all clinically seeing injuries and seeing people come back from things, and then going into my own personal, like, wait a second, you've got in-house one of the greatest sports medicine healing stories ever in the history of sports. This is pretty cool. Why don't you find out some details on that? And then coming to find that my dad was just applying some of the things that I've been applying in practice for 10 years. This was prior to. And he just went on feel, just found it by feel to be the most successful Tommy John surgery in the history of Tommy John surgery. So it's, I believe it's, if we want to call it fate or our destiny, I think I was on a stronger ship that was much bigger than the both of us.
You write a book that's called A Sports Parent's Survival Guide, and so often it's the athlete survival guide. Why did you choose to go the sport parents route?
So I believe this solution that we're seeing youth sports injury epidemics in all sports. We got basketball, we got baseball, soccer, and varying football. No sport is safe, and I want the ultimate effector in this whole thing is going to be the parents and what they're doing from womb to 13 years old. And the solution is now in their hands. And it was one of those things. I could only help who was coming through my doors. And I'm one person in one location, and the problem is just, it's vast. It's millions that are suffering. And I wanted to get a recipe, so to speak, a guideline, a manual in their hands. So now they can go ahead and take the reins. They can take the wheel and put them and their whole family in a better position to try to do what we're all trying to do, which is adapt and thrive at life.
Well, one of the topics you bring up, you call it keeping up with the Joneses, this year-round specialization that we're going through, especially in basketball, seems to be maybe the biggest one. And you argue that maybe that's not the best way to go.
Yeah, and so if you just look at the research on how to develop elite athletes, it's doing the exact opposite of what we're doing in America. The indoor facilities, the youth sports business, it being a $17 billion empire and growing, I say it all the time, you don't make billions of dollars being honest, necessary, and healthy. And they're selling a lie to these parents that only want the best for their kids. And that lie is that the earlier you specialize, the more you compete, the better you will be. Well, what we're seeing is they're trying to develop elite youth, and that's exactly what they're developing, kids that are elite. But they can't sustain that process when the developing child is supposed to take time, years and years, and then it's sustainable to get to the highest level. So if our goal is elite athletes at the college or professional rankings, we want to hold off and specialize as late as possible into your later teen years.
But besides that, the idea that you play multiple sports, it really does, in your opinion, have a great benefit in terms of the overall athlete?
It does. It won't be one of those things that'll solve everything, but I just, there's different surfaces, and there's different rules, and there's different movements, and there's different almost stressors to the system that when the body undergoes it, there's growth. If you're heading a soccer ball, or if you're tackling, or you're wrestling, or you need the agility and footwork in basketball, it all translates to the shortstop, to the pitcher, to the golfer. And what you end up finding is when you talk or interview or see these top, top elite athletes, they all experimented in what we call, they sampled sports. They sampled various sports to develop as much as possible. They were doing it because they loved it. What we find is that it's building a better athlete, and that's what we want to try to be, is this all-around athlete who happens to be an elite baseball player, an all-around athlete who happens to be an elite basketball player. We've got very, very poor athletes who are elite basketball players because we tried to get the elite basketball player first and not the athlete first.
Well, one of the big injury concerns in sports in recent years has been the header in soccer. I know they're trying to get rid of it at the youth level, but you look at the EPL or MLS, and it seems like half the goals are being scored on headers. You know, where's the balance there, and what are you guys learning about, you know, how to try to prevent this injury from happening so often?
I'm so glad you brought that up. We keep looking at the sports, and now it's one of the quotes, the taglines are, no sport is safe. Football's not safe. Baseball's not safe. Basketball's not safe. And now soccer's not safe, especially for females. We've got so terrified about sport, we have to look at the participants in the sport that isn't surviving the sport, that aren't surviving the sport. So it's not the header per se. It's the inability of the person doing the header that can't sustain it. And if you look at the participants, what are we seeing? Well, their first 10, 11 years of life were spent behind screens. They weren't outside. They weren't developing all their senses in free play. Everything was organized. Everything was specialized. Everything was organized sports, scheduled out. They're malnourished. And because they're malnourished, they're underhydrated. They're not getting any sleep. They're staring at phones. And especially if you look at the females come in with the worst case of forward head carriage, meaning their heads are pitched forward from years and years of staring at a screen, staring at a phone. Now you take that soccer player and put him into a position on a field where they have to use that head sitting on a neck that's sitting on a body that's not nourished, it's underslept, it has no immune system, it can't function. It's the appendage that gets used the most. Well, now we're seeing the brains from headers, arms from baseball, knees from basketball, knees from soccer. It's really whatever's used most is going to break down. Sadly, get ready, because we're going to keep seeing studies bring up more and more sports, and these kids are going to continue to suffer because we're just trying to change from the top down, and it can't happen that way.
One other thing I know, and you just mentioned the term underhydration. One word that I had really never heard until I read your part of your book here was overhydration. It can be just as much a problem.
Well, and my podcast this week was about the best way to hydrate, and I made a joke. Here's a hint. It's not water. The 6 to 8 glasses a day. That from 1945, there was that paper release. We're supposed to get 6 to 8 glasses, but a majority is supposed to come from food. So we're supposed to hydrate from the foods we eat, not the water we drink. Well, now, today, water is supposed to be, it's pitched as the saving grace. We have people drinking so much water that you can actually dilute stomach acids. You can dilute minerals and nutrients in blood that it can be dangerous. Now, Sean, it takes a lot of water to get there. So, I don't want people to be just as afraid of soccer as they are now of water. But it's one of those things, like, think about this. If there's some sort of a hydration concern, change your water into a homemade Gatorade we offer in the book, or add a little salt to the water, or add a little fruit juice to the water, or just eat a plum and a couple celery sticks, and you're more hydrated than a bottle of water would ever allow.
One other big topic in sports, and actually just talked to an athlete, Emily Dolan, who's now playing European soccer in the La Liga Dola, who just suffered her first ACL injury of her career. And it feels like girls' knee injuries just keep cropping up. It doesn't matter the sport. It's happening so often. You know, what is that attributed to?
Yeah, and so that's a great question, too. Again, we look at the participant. An injury, really, that happens to an area, it's not a problem with the area. You got to go above and below. So let's go above and below the knee. Let's look at the feet, ankles, and calves of the females. Let's look at the hips of the females. Now, more than ever, they're more unstable. They're weaker. They can't recover. They're malnourished. They're underslept. They're staring at tech. It kind of keeps coming down to those same things. And it just happens to be the joint in between is the one that's going to get affected because they're using their legs more. So to solve the problem, we want to go with these screenings and screen the hip strength and screen the knees. You got to screen everything. When's the last time you asked your athlete how much sleep they got the night before putting them into a practice? When's the last time you asked them what they ate that day, or how much do they stuck to their phones? how overscheduled are they? How at peace are they in their relationships and their emotional connection to food and relationships and with their purpose in life? Like, there's things that are more profound than just the how are you running, how is the stability of the knee, that we have to get back to if we're willing to see any kind of change whatsoever in these epidemics. It has to be systemic and checking the whole athlete.
So ultimately, when someone reads your book, what do you want their big takeaway to be when they're done?
Oh, I love that you asked that question. I want people to be empowered. Today, more than ever, we're terrified. All the research out there, every commercial you see, everything, news story, it's what more can we be afraid of? And I don't want us to be afraid of sport. I want us to look at this as a manual, a guideline, some sort of way that we can take this in and put our whole family in a better position to be able to survive and thrive at life, because that's what the design of the body is. It's to adapt. That's all it does. It just wants to adapt to its environment. So let's go ahead and do the things necessary to put us in the best position, whether we choose to play sports, golf on the weekend, survive a fall, or get up and down off a toilet. It's no different. We're all human athletes until the day we die, and we all develop and thrive the same way, and we've got to get those basic elements back in play with the families.
You mentioned your podcast. Pitch it for us here.
So the Dr. Tommy John podcast, the seventh episode has come out. It's something new. It lets me get into extent, go into length on certain topics. And we'll cover everything from nutrition to performance to rehab to healing to meditation to recovery. Every topic will be covered. It's on all areas where you can find podcasts. But tune in and rate it, review it, and enjoy it. And if it upsets you, that's a good thing, because that means there's an area inside that needs to be tended to.
Well, Dr. Tommy John, the author of the book, Minimize Injury, Maximize Performance, A Sports Parent Survival Guide, thanks for a few minutes today.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks for helping out with the mission, too.
Sean Green, WDEL, Delaware's News Radio.
All right, Sean, very good again. Sean speaking with the son of former Yankees pitcher Tommy John, whose very name is used for one of the most common sports surgeries in baseball.